Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hope everyone's had a good day and good week, and glad you're with us tonight. And before I forget, I got one announcement. The sewing bees will not meet until after Bible school.
Also the tea party.
Also the tea party. It was August 17th, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I think it's August
17th.
August 14th.
At 12 noon.
August 14th.
Tea party. That's the tea party. Tea party for the women. August 14th at noon. Okay, let's grab a hymnal and let's stand and sing a song here. Number 559, Rescue the Perishing.
Sister Nancy, Brother Ken. Also, don't forget, we've got 12 of them signed up for the commitment to share, and for 30 to be committed for a month to share on Facebook. And really, that is about the least we could do in an effort to share God's Word and to see others come to know Jesus Christ. Tonight, we'll be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, it is good to be with you tonight. I know we have a lot that are traveling, a lot that are trying to squeeze in some last rays of sunshine before school kicks back off. Be expecting a phone call from the nominating committee. If you were working 16, 17 months ago in an area, then you'll probably be getting a phone call to ask you to step back into duty and do that. Also, don't forget, August the 7th, our Vacation Bible School, our one-day Vacation Bible School. This is almost like our kickoff back into the community this year, having our ministries back moving and functioning and being a part of the community and not just having to be isolated. But We want to tell each and every one of you that it's a privilege and an honor to have you here with us as you're turning to Proverbs chapter 18. And if you don't remember anything about tonight, remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. But before we go into our study of Proverbs chapter 19, we do want to have a time of praise, a time of testimony, and then also a time of calling out our prayer needs before the Lord. Do we have any words of praise and testimony tonight?
I'm thankful to see you.
Amen. I'm thankful to see you, Sister Donna Brown.
I'm not
100%
but I'm on the way.
Amen. Amen. We're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here, if nothing else. Others that have been traveling back with us, good to have you home. Praise the Lord for that. I've been trying to keep up with Sister Phyllis. She had to have a cyst removed today and sending it off to do a biopsy. I was talking with her yesterday, and she was telling me that the surgeon, who she must have great confidence in, that the last surgery was supposed to be a 2 or 3 hour one and ended up a 14 hour one, and they took out 3 times more than what they were supposed to. So she said, we just take it one day at a time now. And she ended up, so she was supposed to go home that day or the next day and ended up staying 14 days. So she said, we just take it one day at a time now. So anyone, we do praise God for a good report on Sister Phyllis and those that's been checking faithfully. And Sister Amy was keeping me abreast today as well. Amen. Amen. That is good news. That is. I've got Joe Kern. I've got him, the family. Did y'all? We're praying for you. That is good news, though. It's always good to know that the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, the promise that we have in Christ Jesus. I was studying this morning about studying for Sunday about how Christ is precious, and that just means he's of a worth that cannot be described, of a value that cannot be determined. But because he is precious, his promises are precious. Amen. Isn't that wonderful, that his promises, because he is his promises and all his promises are wrapped up in him. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. Just to get up and get out. And two, that we didn't get told we had to go home. It wasn't a few months ago, the fire. We had to leave because of the fire that night. So we thank God that we're able to meet. Mm-hmm. Gouging around. Mm-hmm. If it says Proverbs 15, it's actually 19. I promise you, it's actually 19. I copied and pasted 15's head, and I thought I'd changed it. Sorry about that. You learned my tricks. Surely you didn't think I typed all that every week. Surely you didn't think I typed all that every week. I'm a slow typer. I'm a slow typer. You just don't know how slow I type. If you haven't heard about Brother Wayne, he is home, to God be the glory, and he did end up having an 80% blockage and a 90% blockage, but it was caught, and even the outward numbers were looking okay, and we thank God for the wisdom of doctors and the caution of doctors that they do what needs to be done. Anyone else? Tonight we do want to pray for the lost, those that don't know Jesus Christ. And on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, if you ever get a hankering to come up here and pray with us, we are doing our best to be here. And really what it is that we as a church believe that a soul is worth an hour's worth of prayer a week. And that's why we gather
on that day is to specifically pray for the lost. And it takes us about an hour to go through the names and for everybody to pray. But praise God, I promise you those are probably the most valuable hours we'll ever spend in our life is praying for the lost. So we also want to pray for the backslidden, those that drifted away, how easy it is. But the good thing is that the Bible tells us that no matter how far we've drifted, He is always in the same place. He is a place at the place of forgiveness. And that if we can ever truly grasp hold that every sin is forgiven. And that if we can learn how to live in victory over conscience and over the flesh, to rid ourselves of that guilt, and that there is now no condemnation in those who love Jesus. We want to pray for marriages. We're working on a marriage enrichment weekend. We've kind of got it laid out. Now we've got to start putting pieces in to fill it out. So continue to pray for that. We want to pray for the depressed. We want to pray for our nation. Also want to pray for Brother Chet and the rest of Sister Margaret Wheeler's family. Going to say some more about how precious she is to us, Thomas Village Baptist Church. And she is a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church. I remember she was one of the first ones to join after I came on as pastor, and she was adamant about not being a member of any other church, but the love God gave her for Thomas Village overrode the church hurt that she had experienced in her life. And she had a way of making you feel special. She could always make you feel special. And so we're thankful for her, that God passed her through our lives, and our lives are enriched for that. And the family will be having a closed ceremony together. But I've seen Brother Chet 2 days this week, and probably will see him again tomorrow or either Friday. And he wanted me to tell everybody that I came to that she had basically been asleep since last Thursday, and he went into the room on Monday morning, and she was breathing a bit heavy, and he went and kissed her on her forehead and said, "It's okay to go home to Jesus." And in that moment, she did. And that he just knew that Christ was there, and that his angel had come and carried his bride into the presence of her true Lord and Savior. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. And you know, it is difficult for the family, because it's a new reality, but praise God, she is in her ultimate reality now. So, you know, I'd say, I was thinking about this yesterday, don't you think that the first couple of hundreds of years will probably pass like seconds when we're there? I mean, compared to what's going on earth. I mean, by the time you realize, oh, I got people left on earth, we'll probably already be there with them. Because they're just wrapped up in the glory that is Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? We want to pray for Brother Joe Kern and that family. We want to pray for Ronnie Owens. As you know, he did have a stroke, but God put Charlie, his son-in-law, and his wife in my path when I went and checked on Brother Wayne the other day. And so I've been in contact with them, and he has sat up and he has swallowed. And so we thank the Lord for that. It's his carotid arteries, and they were going to have to go in there and cleanse them out. But there is still some physical healing that needs to come. We want to pray for Larry Tomlinson. I've got Sister Donna Brown here, but praise God, we're going to keep praying, but praise God, she's here. Eunice Roberts, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Bill Eads, Terry Biller, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe, Catherine Ward, Gary and Brandy CC, Brian Baker and family, Jesse Bull and Pam Savarsky, Brother Robert Travis, Stanley Williams and wife Sandy, Brittany Grindstaff, Jason Knight, Melanie Lester, Phyllis Williams, Edsel Keck, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Deborah Horton, Kevin Tigner, Sheila Percival, Heather Markham, Randy Flansler, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Susie Drottery, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Roger Evans, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans, Opal and Grayson, Gladys and J.T. Jones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Justin Bowen, Wilma Jacobs, Doris Williams and family, Sister Lillian Baldwin and family, Miss Priscilla Smith, Ethan Bowen, Paul Storier and Thomas, Susie Hill, Carol Carter, Alicia Hill, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Bradley Bowen, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Brother Tommy and Sister Alma, Haley Webb, Sean and Don Garinetti, Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Linda Jordan, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Mary Snodgrass, Nicholas Patrick, William and Don, Wilma and Don Daniels, Jay and Ruby Keck. Her birthday's this Friday, I believe it is, and send her a card if you think about it. Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, and then Georgia Prayer Needs, Ricky Sheffield, Jerry and Vicki Chancey, Brenda Foreman, Dina Robertson, Duffield Fire and Rescue, and all first responders, our church members, unseen hurts and unspoken needs, and then let's don't forget our 500 shoeboxes from Thomas Village this year. There's going to be some packing parties and some things like that, so be adding up. And don't forget the new phone app. You just go, whether it be Android or Apple, you go to your app store and type in the full name, Thomas Village Baptist Church, and there's a new way to interact and to receive messages, updates, prayer needs, and things like that. Any other prayer needs tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory. Anyone else? What was that name again? We will pray for Sister Janet. Anyone else? All right. Don't forget, this is our list for souls that we're praying for, and so I want to remember them. Also remember the altar is open. I'm going to ask Brother Ken if he would to come and lead us in our prayer over the lost and over our churches.
Let's bow our head. Father God, it is indeed a pleasure to be in your house again tonight. I want you to pour blessings and mercies upon all these people that we got wrote down here, all the souls that need to be saved, ones that we don't have written down. Please put somebody in their way that can teach them about Jesus. Remember all those who are sick in our church family that's not here tonight. Be with the preacher as he goes over the message that you've given him to teach tonight. Just be with us as we go about our daily walk with you, and just be with us and guide us and direct us in everything we do. And we just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. You just remain seated tonight, and we'll get into this. And God willing, I want us to get through them all tonight. And so let's just jump in, okay? Proverbs chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Better a poor person who lives with integrity than someone who has deceitful lips and is a fool. Even zeal is not good without knowledge, and the one who acts hastily sins. A person's own foolishness leads them astray, and one who utters lies will not escape. Wealth attracts many friends, but a poor person is separated from their friends. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who utters lies will not escape. Brothers of a poor person hate him. How much more do his friends keep their distance from him? He may pursue them with words, but they are not there. The one who acquires good sense loves themselves. One who safeguards understanding finds success. Now notice here at verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and one who utters lies perishes. Jump back up to verse 3. Almost verbatim, the same phrase right there in verse 3. A person's own foolishness. Yeah, I know. But if you'll notice, the one who others lies will not escape. Then jump back up to verse 5. You got ahead of me. A false witness will not go unpunished, and the one who utters lies will not escape. And then verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who utters lies perishes. I really think that Solomon is trying to get the point here of the lips, that the lips need to be pure, and that a liar will be found out and will be punished. Verse 10, luxury is not appropriate for a fool, how much less a slave to rule over princesses. A person's insight gives them patience, and their virtue is to look over an offense, is to overlook an offense. A king's rage is like a roaring lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is his father's ruin. A nagging wife, a wife's nagging and endless dripping. A house and wealth are inherited from their fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness induces deep sleep, and a lazy person will go hungry. The one who keeps commands preserves themselves. One who disregards their way will die. Kindness to the poor is a loan to the Lord, and he will, and I missed the D, and he will give you a and he will give a reward to the lender. Discipline your child while there is hope. Don't set your heart on being the cause of their death. A person with intense anger bears the penalty. If you rescue them, you have to do it again. Listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wiser later in life. Many plans are in a person's heart, but the Lord's decree will prevail. What is desirable in a person is their fidelity. Better to be a poor person than a liar. Again, the idea of the lips is brought again. Verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. One will sleep at night without danger. The slacker buries their hand in the bowl. He doesn't even bring it back to his mouth. A strike a mocker. Simple ones learn a lesson. Rebuke the discerning, and they gain knowledge. The one who plunders their father and evicts their mother is a shame and disgrace for child. If you stop listening to correction, my son, you will stray from the words of knowledge. A worthless witness mocks justice, and a wicked mouth swallows iniquity. Judgments are prepared for mockers. If you jump back up to verse 25 where it says, what is the judgment? A backhand. Strike them. And beatings for the back of a fool. So we're here in the heart of Proverbs. Basically, we're in the guts, you know, the deep part of it. And as we know, we're told in Proverbs 1 that this book is mostly written and compiled by the wisest of all kings, as we're told in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, that the son of King David and Bathsheba, Solomon, is the writer and compiler, and he is the wisest man to ever live before and after. And we see that as we've studied that the Proverbs are breakingly broke down into three categories: general, leadership, or parental and family type wisdom. And the basic theme, however, is found very early in the scriptures. If you look there in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, meaning that when we stand in awe of who God is, when we put him where he needs to be, then we're on the path of true understanding and enlightenment. And truth is that without a relationship with Jesus Christ, then there is no true knowledge. You can have all the book smarts that you want, but without him being the place where it all comes together, then there will always be something lacking. There will always be a missing link, that place where that you can't find. And so as we look here, remember that it is the wisest man writing, but there is a limit. There's no way that he can put all of his wisdom in this book, or this book would continue to go on and go on and go on. So there has to be some pushing it together. And think about it. Remember, the definition that we've been using for the proverb is a concise, bullet-type statement that imparts general wisdom and knowledge. And so, as we study tonight, there's 29 verses, but only, well, not only, but 25 of those 29 are straight one-liners. I mean, basically just one point. The only two that come together are more than one is verses 6 and 7, and then if you look at verses 13 and 14, those go together. And sometimes, as we think, he's trying to get all that he can in here, and some of them may even seem random, you know, like he's talking about something and boom, something off the wall. But he's doing his best to get the wisdom in this book so that it can be passed on. And so let's just jump in. The first thing we see is we start again about the idea of being poor, but having integrity, being a righteous man, is better to be poor than to have money and to be wicked. Better a poor person who lives with integrity, one who is basically, if you remember in one of those, it says in verse 22, it talks about fidelity. And what that means is loyal love, loyalty, honesty, long, unfailing kindness. That's what the idea of having integrity is that you do what you say you do, you are who you say you are. And it's better to have that than to have lips, deceitful lips, and to be a fool. So which one would you think that this is, general, leadership, or family, parental? General, amen. We're going to go fast tonight because I want us to get through them. Even zeal. Now, the idea of zeal is that inner passion. We remember that Paul, was when he was Saul, the persecutor of the church, he had zeal. He had an inner passion for the historical religion of Judaism, and he did not like anyone that rivaled or come up against it, and that's why he was persecuting the church. He was out of emotion, he was running. Out of a religious emotion, he was running. Notice it says that though, even though we may have that zeal or we might have that inner passion, if we don't have knowledge, if we don't understand the situation, if we don't understand what's happening, then we can actually do more harm than good. And notice it says that if you act in haste, then you can sin. I'll not forget the week that the governor lifted the mandate on masks. And you remember, if you had the mask, then if you had the shot, then you didn't, and all that stuff. And it was going to come. And we had a meeting that morning. But praise God, you know what? We didn't have to decide nothing right then. And most situations in your life, have you ever noticed, if you allow it, it will work itself out? I mean, sometimes you have to make a definite decision and a definite move, but if lots of times God has a way of allowing things just to work themselves out. Notice it says that in James 3:10, human anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Even when we have a hatred of sin, even if it's just based on more of a passion, a disgust that we find in ourselves that we don't like, and we're not doing it because Christ is leading us in it, then guess what? We can do a whole lot more harm than we do good. You know, you can talk to a drug addict. You can talk to someone that's addicted to pornography or a homosexual, and you can talk to them, and you can tell them that that sin is wrong, but your attitude and your volume of your voice can negate all the truth that you might bring up out of Scripture. You know that? And we can sin in that. Do you know it's just a matter of time? I want you to think about this, though. It's just a matter of time until someone who struggles with the sin of homosexuality comes to this church and wants to live a holy life in front of the Lord. Does that mean they're going to be perfect? No. But can we accept them? Can we love them? Can we lift them up when they fall off the wagon? You understand what I'm saying? If we're going to minister to everybody, we have to soul search ourselves and recognize that we've got to learn how to be angry but sin not. And we can't let our passions override the truth of the gospel. And the truth of the gospel is love. Nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. Amen? But notice it's... Exactly. We don't. We don't. We very well could be. And that's the world we live in. None of us would choose to have that be the battle we're having to fight right now, would we? But it is. And so we got to learn how to love. We got to learn how to stand firm. But we got to do it in the name of Jesus. And love conquers all. The love of Jesus conquers all. The truth of Jesus. Thank you, Sister Tammy. But now, would you think that this would be general leadership or family? I would too. A person's foolishness leads them astray. This reminds me of over in James, where we're told that no man is tempted by God. What are we drawn away by? We're drawn away by our own lust. Our own sinful foolishness is what draws us away. And, yes, the heart is desperately wicked above all things. Above all things. Thank you, sister. And one who utters lies will not escape. Again, the idea of the lips. So is this general leadership parental? Amen. Wealth attracts many friends, but a poor person is separated from their friends. Any thoughts on that? I mean, it's true. When you got money, you got all kind of friends and you got all kind of family. But when you ain't got no money, it's like you got the plague. Anybody see you coming, they scared you going to ask them for money, and so they going the other way. That's exactly right. And some of them might even have some of your money in their pocket when they go away. I don't know. Let me make sure I didn't forget an S first. I didn't? Okay. I don't know why it's plural versus singular. We're going to see that in verses 6 and 7. I think it kicks into kind of some of the same idea. Yeah, look there in verses 6 and 7. It says, many seek a ruler's favor, and everyone is friend to one who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor person hate him. How much more do his friend keep their distance from him? He may pursue them with words, but they are not there. And there's a passage there in verse 38 to where the psalmist quotes that he is in a position where his family and his friends is standing far from him. But I have no idea. Somebody might want to look that up. But one friend. And that's kind of what I was leaning, that even the closest of friend might dip out on you when you pour. The idea of that one true friend, you know, that one that's there. In no way do I think that if you remember, I think it was last week in Proverbs 18 where it says, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I don't believe this is a reference to that friend, you know, I didn't get into it, but now if you wanted to get deep, I mean the idea of a poor person. If you remember, the idea over in the Beatitudes is that we are blessed are the poor in spirit. If you remember, so if we took this to the spiritual side, then it may be if you're spiritually poor to the place to where you. Recognize it, then yes, you are separated from God because of that debt, that sin, that poorness. But Christ is willing to take up that debt, that friend that does stick closer than a brother. So you could really take it into a deep study there if you wanted to. Neighbor. So the idea, yeah. So the idea, this is the Christian Standard. So the idea is that of an acquaintance, not the deeper spiritual aspect of it. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what he's experienced, I'd say, as a king, you know, knowing he's had the money, he's had the things and all that, and he can get whatever he wanted to. What was the passage that it says, a gift turned everywhere? It's like magic, you know, it's like a magic wand. Wherever it turns, you know, things happen. It was one of the Proverbs. Here, the thing is true. When you are down and out, even those that have been some of your closest friends will step away from you. Whether that be physically poor, speaking of finances, but you know as well, when you get into a sin pit and you're down and out and you have nothing to offer those that run with you, usually you're left all alone. You're left high and dry. You're left to find your next fix by yourself and how you're going to get it and all that stuff. When you've got money, everybody's there. Mm-hmm. Yep, he was left in the hog pen. Good discussion. Good discussion. So which one do you think this one is? I'd go with general myself. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who utters lies will not escape. We're not going to go into that one because we got another one. General? Huh? Is it verse 8? The one who acquires good sense. No, verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished. So let's decide both of these. Which one would you think they are? Verse 5 and verse 9. General. Amen. All right. Verse 6. Well, we did that one too. Would you say that one's general? I would too. All right. Verse 8. The one who acquires good sense loves themselves. And again, that's what we're doing tonight. I hope that's why we're here, is that our desire is for good sense. And as we study this scripture, that's what the Spirit is doing, is taking the godly sense, which is good sense, and weaving it into our intellect by study and the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we'll be able to take this and live it out in our life. Notice it says, who safeguards understanding. The idea of safeguard is to protect it, and that's what we try to do here. Not only do we try to gain knowledge, but we try to make sure that the truth of God goes out the way that it's intended to go, that unhindered, untainted by our own thoughts and emotions, but that we don't go by anything other than the truth of Scripture, and we live by that. So would you say that if we safeguard it, we find success? So would you say that this is which one? General. Verse 10, luxury, the life of delight, the life of pleasure, is not appropriate for a fool. Now, doesn't it seem weird when most people today, if you look at Hollywood, many that are living in luxury get it by being fools. Literally, some of the things that they do today, the reality shows and stuff like that, I mean, people show their foolishness to live in luxury. How much less for a slave to rule over princes? The idea is that there's royalty, and royalty is, I know we don't like class system, but it's not the idea of the class system, it's the picture that we see here, that a slave is of lowly and meager means. The prince has every advantage and should be able to lead. And the idea here is that it's just not right. The picture is skewed. And that's the way it is in our country. When we see fools living in luxury, it's completely against what is intended by our Creator. Which one would you say? Notice verse 6 and 1. Like snow in the summer and the rain in harvest, how inappropriate is it for a fool? I mean, none of us expect to see snowflakes out there in 91 degree weather, nor do we want it to be raining when we're harvesting our crops. That's what happens in the planting season and the growing season. But just like when it gets the fall, that's when you think about it. It's usually kindly dry and cool and able to work in. So the picture here is out of skew. Which one would you think that this one is? General, yep. A person's insight, verse 11. A person's insights gives them patience, meaning that when we have understanding of a situation, we have understanding of life, then we're able to endure situations better because we know that that's the way things happen sometimes. But notice he goes on to say that it is the virtue, meaning that it is a value. It's a part of being a child of God. And remember, it's like we talked about in James. This is a part of who we are now. These are the way that we're supposed to think about things, not through our emotions or through the mind of the human, but we're to think about it through the power of the Spirit and the truth of the Word. And so, praise God, instead of when we find out a juicy little nugget on someone, instead of going out and spreading it around, it's our privilege, it's our virtue, it's our benefit, it's our value that we can go over it. Sometimes we're just, when somebody does something against us or does something we don't like, yes, we're to act like nothing has ever happened. We're to just pass right over it because it's just not worth it. Then there's other times where you have to call it out. You have to speak up to the situation. Which one would you think that this one is? The king's rage is like a roaring lion, but the favor of a king is like dew on the grass. I mean, think about it. If you were in the governor's eyes and he had the chance to say you were pardoned or that you go to the electric chair, one's going to feel like, if he says go to the electric chair, yeah, you're going to think that the wrath of that governor is terrible. But if he gives you a pardon, it's going to be like somebody just breathed in a breath of fresh air in there. So it just depends on what seat you're sitting in, how the powers that be are coming off. Which one would you think that this is? Leadership. I would go with leadership. This one, that verses 13 and 14 are basically the idea of the house and in the home, so that might give you a little bit of an idea of which one it is. A foolish son is his father's ruin. We know that many a great business has been brought down by the second generation because they just don't have the drive, the initiative, or the wisdom that their father had. I mean, somebody that has been given the keys to the kingdom is not going to work as hard to keep the kingdom as the father did to gain the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? They've not had to fight. They don't have the scars. They've not had to put up with the licks. So then they're not as ready for a battle as the other. So which one? A nagging wife is as an endless dripping. I'd say the same's true for a woeful or down in the mouth husband. And it just gets to the point to where it's just noise in the background. A house and wealth can be given by a father, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And we studied it last week, Proverbs 18:22. A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. My goodness, men, how much better would it be around our home if every time we looked at our wife, we were reminded that she is God's favor in our life. Isn't that awesome? I mean, the fact that when we look at our better half, that our other half, we recognize that God's favor is in my life 24/7 as long as she's in my life. Isn't that wonderful?
I do too.
Hey, you know what shirts I want to get for our marriage weekend? I want the women's to say good thing on the back of it and have the verse, and the men say blessed by God on the back of it and have that verse right there out of, where is it out of, Proverbs 18:22. You've got a good thing and a man that's blessed by God or under the favor of the Lord. So would you think that this one, which one would you think this one is? Family, yeah. Laziness induces sleep. A lazy person will go hungry. Not so much in America anymore, but they've been stimulated. Have you seen all the help wanted signs? But it won't surprise me if for some reason there isn't another reason for a stimulus package to go out. I tell you what, it don't surprise me if Uncle Sam wouldn't be willing to pay people to stay at home for long. For control. For control. Which one do you think this is? General. All right. Verse 16. The one who keeps a command, meaning directive or instructions. And that's what we have with Christ. If you remember, he said, those of you who abide in my word, those who you follow my instructions. What do? We preserve ourselves. By walking in what is right, by keeping God's instructions, God's commands, then our life is spared from a lot of hurt and pain. One who disregards their way, or one who thinks lightly of their path in light of God's commands, then what happens? They will die. They will experience eternal death as we consider the spiritual part. Which one do you think that this is? General. I think this is a beautiful verse, verse 17. Kindness to the poor is a loan to the Lord. And you remember Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to one of these in my name, you've done it as unto me, right? And notice what he says. He says, if we are kind, then we're making a loan to the Lord when we're kind to the poor. And notice what it says. God will do what? God will give you a reward to the lender. There's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in it. Which one do you think this one is? General. Discipline your child while there is hope. Don't set your heart on being the cause of their death. What do you think that that means? Do you think that there's any parent that just thinks, I'm going to ride my child till they die? But there's a lot of parents that can't wait till they get to the point to where their children don't have to take care of them. You know what I mean? And get to that point. And caretaking is a hard job. Caretaking is a point. And so the idea is we're not to raise our children up to the point to where we think, okay, then they've got to do everything to take care of me again. We don't want to bring them to a point to where our load upon them is going to cause their death or to draw them into a point. Any other thoughts on that one? Think about this. The way that we raise our youngins, one way, could cause them to die, but also we could become a draw on our children to a point where they're taking care of us basically drives them into an early grave. Caretaking. The idea of caretaking. So what is don't set your heart on the cause of their death mean? Okay, that's a good one. I can go along with it. Does it? Don't let up on it. Don't let up on it. All right. Mm-hmm. And it happens fast. It happens fast. Any other renderings? We've got don't let your heart spare for the crying. And then don't set your heart on being the cause of their death. Any other readings? That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that one. Discipline your children while there is hope. And if you don't, you will ruin their lives. What translation is that, Brother Keith? Open Bible. That's a good one. Which one do you think this one is? General. I'd go with family first. I'd go with family first and then general. All right. A person's intense anger bears the penalty. If you rescue them, you have to do it again. The idea here is that, you've seen people's anger get them in trouble, cause them to have issues. But like we were talking about with the spoiled child, if you continue to rescue, then you're going to have to continue to rescue because the lesson will never be learned. Basically, let the consequences of their actions. And I think that's what America's missing out on a lot right now is the consequences of our actions that aren't coming home to roost with a lot of people. And I think some of it goes back to the idea of there is no losers, everybody's a winner, everybody gets to get a trophy in the sports league and all that stuff. Some leagues don't even keep score. I'll tell you what, I play a game for a purpose, and I may not win, but I'm going to try. Which one do you think this one is? General, amen. I like this one too. Listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wise later in life. That what you're going through right now, and I think a lot of us need reminding of this one. This is one of those that where we're at right now, the situation we're in, even if you don't like the counsel you're receiving, stock it up, store it up, because it might come in handy later on. Which one do you think this one is? Amen. Many plans, and there's been a few that are in this ballpark here. In verse 21, many plans are in a person's heart, but the Lord's decree will prevail. You remember the lot is cast into the lap, but the doling out is the Lord's. Basically, the idea here is that God does have a perfect will, and his will be accomplished, no matter the thoughts and schemes of man. Which one do you think this one is? Amen. What is desirable in a person is their fidelity, not their looks, not their money, not their position, but their loyal love, their unfailing kindness, their steadfast commitment. And it's better to be a poor person than a liar. Again, that idea. And when we look at this, we miss out on this, but basically what we're reading is we're reading on the expression of God's morality. All that we're reading here, this wisdom on how to act in these situations, it is the expression of God's morality in our daily life. You see how deep the morality of God goes, though? I mean, we think morality, do this, don't do that, and it's basically, but God's goes so deep to the thought. Remember, it goes to the purpose, the agenda that's in our heart, not just the actions we live out. Which one do you think this one is? General. Verse 23 takes us back to the general theme as we looked at in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, where it said, the beginning of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Here we see that the fear of the Lord leads to life, that the same thing that provides us life also provides us true wisdom, provides us true knowledge, provides us true understanding. And true understanding, true knowledge provides life. When we know Jesus Christ, then we find life in Him. Which one will sleep at night without danger? And the idea here is that they're not having to look over their shoulder, but they're under the watch of God, and they're under the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. So which one would you think that this is? And again, we're looking back on this through the reality of the Messiah that has come, whereas they were writing, looking ahead. General, a slacker buries their hand in the bowl and doesn't even bring it back to his mouth. Basically, he's just too lazy to even pick it up. I mean, that's the idea here. So I've not met anybody that lazy yet that I know of. But which one would you think this one is? General, amen. All right, we're going to get it. We're going to make it. This one is pretty straightforward. Strike a mocker. The idea here is to hit someone that babbles or ridicules or is a big talker. You ever heard somebody say, I'm going to knock some sense into you? It's biblical. Look at it. Like what does it say? Strike a mocker and simple ones learn a lesson. Right here? The idea of simple one is one that's not experienced, inexperienced, naive. Rebuke the discerning, and they gain knowledge. So the idea is that even though you may not like the correction, someone that has insight recognizes that there is benefit even from correction, even from punishment. Whereas the mocker is just running their mouth, and that really they need to be slapped is basically. Which one would you? Huh? Yeah. He was striking. Yes. Which one would y'all think this one is? General. The one who plunders their father and evicts their mother is a shame and disgraceful child. I think that this is basically just one who runs through a father's inheritance and leaves their parents basically without a roof over their head almost. And we see that. We see it. Any thoughts here? Which one you think it is? Parental and family, yep. If you stop listening to correction, my son, you will stray out of the words of knowledge. And that's physically, you can notice that, like when you're driving down a road, and if there's something wrong with the road or they're working on the road, there are signs that tell you there's a problem, go the other way. If you don't listen to that correction, you're probably going to end up in a bad state. And the same is true in our physical and spiritual lives. God has laid out a direction for us. He has given us the Word of God to guide our lives. And when we stray from that, then we move out from underneath the umbrella of God's favor. And in that, praise God, He punishes us, is what the Bible says. Which one would you think this one is? Verse 20, general. Verse 28, a worthless witness mocks justice. One that's of no value really is just going in there, maybe telling a lie, or basically is not beneficial to bringing about what is just and what is right. Then they basically are making fun of the system, is what it tells us. And a wicked mouth swallows iniquity like water. Which one? The idea here is that just the intake of, well, we see the how that one can make a joke of the justice, but then also the wicked have no problem in taking more iniquity, more sin. It is just swallow it like nothing. Which one would you think this one is? And then verse 29, and I think it does kindly tie back up to verse 25, because it says that the judgments, or basically the reprimands, the way things are supposed to be carried out, are prepared for mockers. And we see that verse 25, one of those judgments is to be struck, and then it goes on to say, and beatings for the back of a fool. And like we talked about, what was that verse where it says, how did it go? Don't let your soul be crushed for their crying. Or how did that go? The children? What happened was is that the correction was not there as a child, probably. And that's how they've ended up being. And you know, some countries, you remember when that, it's been a few years ago, but that American got caught for doing something wrong and they wanted to cane him. You remember that it's been about, huh? They did cane him, did they? Yeah, I mean, they still whoop him. Whoop him. Any thoughts on tonight's lesson? All righty, don't forget Sunday morning. Invite somebody to Sunday school. And do continue to pray for not only the Kern family, but also the Wheeler family as they're dealing with the loss of Sister Margaret. And us too, as there'll be a hole here as well. Anything else before we close? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been good to be in your house, been good to be with your family. And I'm so thankful, Heavenly Father, that all these folks come out tonight, and I just pray a special blessing on them. God, I thank you for their wisdom in the Word and the teaching through the Spirit that they provide. And God, I just ask you tonight to, again, forgive me of my sins where I fail you, and go with me as I leave this place that I may lead others to you. And God, thank you for loving me, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. We'll see you Sunday, if not before.